So a school district in our country, this is what they sent out to parents. Dear parents and guardians, you may have heard in recent local news about clown sightings here in the Rogue Valley and Grants Pass area. This is becoming a national issue in cities everywhere. Individuals are dressing as scary clowns and attempting to terrify people, and especially targeting children in schools. We want you to know that we are in communication with the Grants Pass Public Safety and monitoring any reports here in our community. There's been no credible threats to any of our schools or students at this point. It's from the superintendent there. This is happening all over the place. If you have a story like that and you want to share it with us, please do so. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to another hour of Open Lines here. George Norrie with you, and let's go to the phones. Let's go to Skype. Marcus in the Netherlands for us. Hey, Marcus, how are you?
Hi, George.
Hey.
Excuse me.
Speak English, Marcus. Speak English. Yeah. Don't speak Slavic or whatever you speak.
Yeah. Long time no hear is what I want to say.
But, by the way, in the Netherlands, what do you speak? Is it called Dutch?
Yes, Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah.
Say hello to me in Dutch.
Hello.
That's it?
Yeah, hello. It's with an ah. Instead of hello, you say ah.
Ah.
Hello. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you speak English.
Yeah, thank you. George.
Yeah.
It was a great morning with Steve Quayle on.
Yes, he's one of the best.
Yeah, I really enjoy. He was right on the money, though.
Oh, he sure is.
Yeah. Hey, but are you ready for another angelic one?
Another story from you? Sure.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about this for the past few weeks. And the last time, was some kind of comforting story. But I've been thinking about this to connect to Steve.
You want to connect with him?
Well, you see, what he was saying this morning about angels taking on a human form,
Yeah.
I've experienced.
What do you mean? What happened?
Well, I was about 10 years ago or something.
Okay.
And I was at a girlfriend, and I had to normally take the train home. But the trains weren't riding the rails. There was something wrong with it. So they sent out buses. So I stepped in the bus, and I had a not-so-good weekend. And my whole year wasn't that great. And so in this full bus, right, there's just a few seats available, and one is next to me. I'm sitting at the window.
Mm-hmm.
So in comes this looking like a really dark Afro-American kind of man. And he came in the bus. Everybody sees him. And he looks at me, and I'm giving him a friendly face, so he knows he can sit next to me.
Sure.
And so we sit down, and he asked if he could make a call. So I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, okay. I said, well, if you make it short, then
you mean with your phone?
With my phone, yeah.
Okay.
So I give him my phone, so he makes this call, and sounded like a good relative of his,
mm-hmm.
but it was very business-like talk, with a lot of authority.
Yeah.
And so, and then I'm thinking to myself, and he made it short, so he gave me my phone, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy must have made it, something like that. And
pretty professional, right?
Yeah, professional man, and looking really neat and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts this conversation after he's giving me the phone back and putting it in my pocket. I look at him, and I'm seeing something strange about him, but I cannot really say. And so he starts to talk to me, and he says things in details about my life.
Like nobody else would know this except you, right?
Except for me. I never talked about anyone about this, and it had to do with my girlfriend back then also, And I'm thinking, you know, are you from the FBI or whatever, you know?
That's right. Are you monitoring my phones? What are you doing here?
What was happening? So, but as soon as I started to question that, he got quiet, and then he looked at me, and it was like he opens up his feelings, radiation, his energy to me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm getting all this, just as last time, all this love and all that, you know? But also, which was a larger portion of the feeling, was the authority. This man had really authority, you know, like a power in him. And so, and I, as soon as I get the feeling, I know this is an angel.
Did he try to change anything for you or anything like that?
Well, what happened was that after I known that, the first thought that I recognized the feeling and I'm thinking this is an angel, he shut his energy out. I couldn't feel anymore.
Oh, really?
And he started talking because the ICE says, do I have your attention? And I said, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. And all these people around me didn't notice, you know?
They're not listening.
No. And well, they're picking up, but it's like they're hearing something else, because when he said that, he had a lower voice. And it was loud and clear. You know, everyone in front of me, next to me, behind me should have heard that, you know. But it was like people couldn't hear.
What do you think he wanted?
Well, it turns out that he wanted to warn me of something. And that I cannot go into detail, but I think it's too personal.
Okay, I understand. But to warn you something for your safety?
Yeah, well, it was. He said that there was a situation coming in my life that I needed to listen very carefully to what he had to say.
Was he right in the long run? Did this thing happen?
He was right, and he said, "But you must be a careful listener now, because when the situation happens, we want you to react to it accordingly."
Huh.
And so this is why this authority of him, this really, this is just a thing that he, I think God gave him this.
Well, but when this happened, Marcus, and you recollected, you recalled, of course, what he told you, did you act accordingly, the way he said you should?
Yeah, well, the funny thing was that I felt really small, you know, because there was so much authority of him, I felt like a fly.
Did this advice save you?
It helped me in the situation because he didn't describe in detail the situation, but when I got to it about 2 weeks later or something,
it hit you.
Yeah, and I remembered exactly what to do.
How did he say goodbye to you on the bus?
Well, after he this is one key thing I want to mention. I think why the authority was there, the power of him, that I would feel small, because otherwise I wouldn't be listening, you know.
Right. Did he disappear or just get up and leave? What happened?
We got to a destination, so we walked outside just like everybody else. You know, everybody mentioning him also, of course, or seeing him. And we stepped out the bus. And before we did that, because before we stood up, he showed me his eye.
His eye?
Yeah.
What was wrong with his eye?
Well, he had dark eyes, just like any other Afro-American looking.
All right.
Man. But it was like a lens or a little piece of glass in front of it, and then it just flipped away. It's just his left eye, and then I could see for a few seconds his real eye.
Huh.
It was blue, and it was so blue that it's just blue. You know.
Wow, like an angel trying to trick you.
Yeah, and but he knew I had a problem with, you know, doubting myself sometimes. Geez.
All right, I got to move on, Marcus, but I need to know, how did he disappear? What happened?
We got outside, and then outside he lay his hand upon me, And he gave me this feeling. He didn't say anything. He just said, I had to go. And he touched me on my shoulder. And I felt that he wanted to let me feel that he had confidence and that he would that I would do good. And then he turned around, and I turned around, and I see him walk away.
And that was it. Tom, what do you have for us? Text or two? What a story. Huh?
Oh, man.
Would you let somebody use your phone on a bus?
Probably.
If they sat next to you?
Probably. Or else I'd dial it and hold the phone, because I don't want to give up my phone.
Put it on speaker, right?
It's too much if I lose it. So Trotter from South Carolina.
Trotter!
Text for you.
Hey, what there. Movie? Here's a trivia question for you. What movie was Richard Dreyfuss called Trotter?
I don't know.
Let It Ride. The greatest horse movie ever.
Oh, that's right.
A great movie. It was called Trotter.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Trotter says, hey there, have you ever been, I like this, have you ever been on a ride at a traveling carnival?
When I was a kid. I don't like rides. I like the games more than I like the rides. I never understood the thrill of little roller coasters and, you know, Ferris wheels and carousels and things like
that. You realize they're not little anymore.
They're not little.
The rides.
Nor am I.
They're big.
I know they are, but what was your question?
It's just this question. He says, have you ever been on a ride at a traveling carnival?
Yeah, I just answered you.
Well, then I guess you answered it, right?
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Next up, let's go to Kirk, truck driving in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Kirk.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Hi, good, thank you.
Good deal. Hey, I'm obsessed with this missing 411 subject.
Oh, my God, it's great stuff.
It scares the heck out of me, and I know that's probably why it's interesting. And I know there's lots of different conclusions you can probably draw, and it doesn't seem like it maybe is just one thing, but I told Tommy that there in southeastern Colorado, the Alamosa Center, Spanish Peaks, that area, there's a lot of missing people down there. And so what I like to do is these clusters, I like to get on my Google Maps on satellite and just kind of zoom in and look at the terrain and, you know, kind of feel like I'm reliving some of the stories.
Okay.
You know, just getting even more creeped out by it. Well, I'm looking in this area and I start to pan out and all of a sudden I just got goosebumps big time.
What'd you see?
Well, what's just southwest of that area is Dulce.
Oh, which is supposed to be an enlightened area.
Well, you know, all the underground alien-based conspiracies, like if part of this missing 411 is some kind of alien abduction, you know, they could just come right out of that area and grab people that are close by instead of right there out of Dulce.
Right.
You know, you don't want to, you know.
That is weird. I mean, the stories, to me, the weird stories, Kirk, are when people are like walking and the person's right behind them and they're gone.
Yeah.
They hear nothing.
I mean,
they're just gone.
The thing is, and, you know, some people like to say it's Bigfoot, but I'm telling you, somebody hear that thing coming
in.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just don't think it's possible. But if these aliens or whatever they are do have some kind of, you know, amazing technology where they can basically just vaporize somebody up, that'd be a good explanation.
Well, that's something like that's what is happening, because the individual would scream if something was grabbing him.
Also, too, people talk about them walking into a vortex. Well, if they're going to walk into a vortex, don't you think the four people in front of them would have walked into it also?
You would think so.
In the back?
Unless the vortex came down like a little tornado and scooped them up or something.
Yeah, I just think there's some kind of intelligence behind it, you know.
It is weird.
Like, you know, they pick and choose the age groups, the type of kids, the type of young men. So, I don't know.
Wouldn't you freak out if you were out there with somebody you cared about and they were gone and you could never find them?
Yeah, that would scare the crap out of me. But that area right there in southeast Colorado, we pick up a lot of potatoes up in center.
Yeah.
And run them down to, you know, wherever, Southern California or whatever. And, you know, I've thought about it like, man, I hope the aliens don't like French fries. We just disappear.
Manny, hey, drive carefully out there. Thanks. Let's go out to John in Palm Springs, California, west of the Rockies. John, you are up with us.
Hey, George. Great to hear your voice.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, Steve Quayle is never disappointed.
Oh, never. God, he always brings great material with him.
He does. He does. And just everything he says, it just makes so much sense. And I love the biblical aspect to it. But I have a theory for you, George. And I know you've been concerned about this country and, you know, how different it is from when you grew up in that era.
Yep.
And
big time.
I have similar concerns. I grew up in Chicago. And, you know, I had a bad feeling about this president when he first came on board. And I kind of saw him a mile away. But he's way worse than I thought he was going to be. And with him and Hillary back to back, I really believe that there's something going on sinister. As far as my theory is that both those individuals have Marxist backgrounds, and nobody ever talks about it. And I don't know, I said Bill Clinton even, he went over to Russia, and it was documented he went over to Russia when, before he was a president, he was over there visiting those guys. And so I don't know if this is a soft coup or what's going on here, but I'm really, really worried that if she gets in, she's going to further weaken this nation.
And I think it's too close to call. I mean, can you guess? Yeah. Would you guess right now who would win?
I think the visceral feeling I get, George, is that the American people are so frightened that they're going to get so many of their friends and family to vote that people have never voted before. You know, it's going to make the silent majority look like nothing. I mean, he's going to beat her so bad.
You really think so?
I pray that it happens, but because there's been somebody that was online, it was a prophet that said that he's the hand of God is on Donald Trump and giving this country one last chance. So I really hope that people understand that, you know, this is not all just by accident. These things have happened to our nation. This is intended, and I really believe that if Hillary gets in, she's going to bring this country to its knees, and she's going to let the Chinese and the Russians march right in here and take this whole ball of wax over.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But if Trump does win, I hope he surrounds himself with the best advisors from any party and starts moving and pushing and getting America going again. And, you know, one of the reasons why he has appealed to so many people is because he's not a politician. And a lot of people are just fed up with that. They're fed up with that entirely. In terms of Hillary, we'll see what happens. All I know is the Saturday Night Live skit with Alec Baldwin was absolutely hilarious. I wonder if you guys saw that. It was hilarious indeed. All right, well, let me get a few little notes out here. We'll hit the break and come back with our final segment of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. We're over 400,000 likes on Facebook. Why don't you put us over 500,000? If you haven't done that, if you're on Facebook, make sure you like us by going to coasttocoastam.com. Click it, far right-hand corner. The tweets, we're over 100,000 people who follow us on Twitter. Let's go to 200,000. Go ahead and do that. And have some fun doing that. And don't forget, you can always email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in just a moment, and we're going to take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we've got our final segment of Open Lines here. We've got a series of great programs for the rest of the week for you as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast Fast Night. Let's go to Sal in Fargo, North Dakota, on the wild card line. Hey, Sal, welcome to the show.
Hey there, George. Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. Hey, that movie, Fargo, was that pretty close to what goes on out there?
No, not really. I think that was in Brainerd or something like that.
Yeah.
Brainerd and Minneapolis or St. Paul or whatever. So, but the people were from this area. I'm actually from California. I've been living out here for a couple of years.
How do you like it out there?
Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. The people are very nice.
Super, super.
So, yeah, I just wanted to talk about, you know, people have been talking about it tonight, Mr. Steve, I don't know his last name, but...
Quayle, Steve Quayle.
Steve Quayle. He was talking about, you know, all the stuff that's going on right now. And I find it interesting because when I was getting into my spirituality, I was listening to Galactic Channeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you're going to have a guest anytime soon that knows about that. Because these people can, like, channel these beings from other dimensions or these beings that are outside of our...
We've had somebody on by the name of Nancy Leader, Sal, who does that. She channels the Zeta Reticulans. And it's really strange.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to me because they talk a lot about what's going on right now. And this is 2 years. I stopped listening to them 2 years ago, but I've been meaning to get back into it. But a lot of the things they were talking about 2 years ago is actually kind of happening now, with the elections and the way people are kind of going out of control with all these shootings and, people just...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely crazy. And they're talking about how there's these high levels of energy that is hitting our solar system right now. And how our planet is going to be shifting into a fifth dimensional planet at some point. And we need, as a human race, we need to get beyond all this fighting and violence.
If we don't, we're going to destroy each other.
Yeah. And, the planet's not going to wait for us. It's going to go and it's moving forward with or without us.
That's a good point. You do sound very spiritual.
I'm not. I've never really got into all the religion
right.
and all that, but, I've always wondered, what, there's got to be a bigger meaning of us all being, how is all this even here?
There's got to be a bigger picture. Yeah. This is not a fluke accident, that's for sure.
No. And it's definitely interesting listening to how they're talking about how we're going to be shifting to a higher dimension and how we're going to evolve with the planet as well. We're going to be able to do a lot more bigger things. And it's definitely interesting how, like, they talked about how they're going to try to keep us distracted and fighting against each other, because as long as we're distracted, we won't ever be able to move forward along with the planet. And we need to realize all this stuff and stop fighting against each other.
That's a good point. I tell you what, we'll look for Nancy Leader or someone like that who channels. And we'll work on doing a show on that. I'll send that to our producers. Sal, thanks. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, we go to Mark in Seattle. Hey, Mark, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hey, George. Thanks a lot.
Sure thing. Thanks for holding, too. My gosh.
Yeah, that's fine. I was able to organize my thoughts.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I'm getting over a little bit of an illness, so I need to do all I could. Say, I've been studying the economy. I was first to let... Coast know about the stock buybacks corporations were doing.
Okay.
Yeah, you may remember.
I remember that.
And so I think I have a possible solution to the slow economy.
What would you do?
Okay, you would agree that knowing what the problem is the first thing to getting coming to an answer.
That would help.
Right. So I make it simplified. 70% of the economy is consumer spending, and it makes you wonder what the 30% is, the other 30%.
I would say it's
a lot of that is business spending.
I was going to say business buying things,
improving their companies,
new equipment, things like that,
and software and research and development, new plants and equipment,
right? Putting money back into the company,
right? And all the sources I study, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg Business Week magazine, and CNBC, financial editor Jeff Cox. They all agree with this, and the business investment increases productivity and growth and allows wage growth and future strength of companies. And they all say, these sources, that business spending is pathetic, and corporate cash goes to buybacks and dividends, and they've been using their earnings as well as selling corporate bonds at a massive amount, almost $1 trillion a year for doing this. And so the corporation's excuse is to say that the new president's tax plan isn't known, so they are waiting on that. But I kind of doubt that, because they've been reaping massive amounts of money through their stock buyback.
Yeah, they've been doing this for years.
Yes. Well, there was, after the crash, they put in 2008 a rule that allowed them to depreciate their business investment by half of their depreciation in 1 year.
Wow.
So that stimulated them to go into more investment for their companies. But that ended in end of 2013. Now, the Republicans want to reinstate that, and that's good. But I don't think that's going to be enough. So I had an idea.
What was
now,
that?
Now, Trump wants to bring the overseas profits in at a 15% tax rate. Why not have a stipulation on that, that the money be used for business investment to improve the health of the United States and the companies instead of just the rich with their stocks?
You mean that 15%?
Yeah, allow them the 15% instead of the 35% tax rate. They want to bring in a couple trillion dollars from overseas. But if we let them just bring it in, they're just going to use it for stock buybacks and dividends that benefit the rich.
And bonuses.
And bonuses as well. You got to think about things like this. If this could only be in the debates, I'm afraid that they're too... They don't think economically that much as I do, or some of these magazines. And
they should have you on as an advisor.
Well, I do a lot of it. I wish I didn't have to. I've been studying it since I was in high school, about the same time about your age, George.
Yeah.
Okay, that would help. But I thought, why not? Well, okay, so here, this would be done. Okay, this was done by George W. Bush after the dot-com crisis. They let the money come in at a low interest rate. It was supposed to go to business spending and investment, but it wasn't used for that.
They didn't earmark it for that. It came in the right way, but they didn't spend it the right way.
They lied.
Yeah.
And so the liberals said, I told you so at that time, right? And so why not learn from this? This time we make it a law. Any money not used for this would be fined at a 75% tax rate. Okay, we could control things instead of them controlling us.
You should have called us when I had Catherine Fitz on last night.
I know, I heard her last night, too.
Gosh, I
wished I could have. I knew I couldn't get in because there wasn't enough time. Okay, I feel that if they are allowed to bring in it at 15% without doing this, it will result in more buybacks and dividends for the rich. A weak economy has allowed corporate bonds to be sold at a low interest rate, which allows corporations to have their stock go up and benefit the rich. They like a weak economy because they can borrow all this money to do all this shenanigans at very low interest rates.
Well, you're right about that. Mark, I want you to do two things. One, the next time we have a investment person on, definitely call in, please. And then send me an email with things that you may have written and stuff that we can track you, okay? I want to take a few more calls before we're out of time. Tom, text. What do you got?
This is a text from Joanne. George, with technology growing so fast, what do you see as the next big advance in TVs and TV viewing?
Oh, that's an interesting question with that. I don't know how much better they can get. I mean, they're pretty darn good now.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, don't we have, you know, like when you go to Roku or Amazon or Netflix, don't they have vocal now search instead of having to type it into the...
I don't think they do yet, do they? Because I'd love to.
I think they do. Or you would just say, you know, Breaking Bad, and it would, you know, pop up.
Clint Eastwood.
Something like that. That would be cool.
What about TVs, though? How much better can they make them?
That's the point. Well, they have curved ones now, don't they?
They do have curved ones. I heard...
Have you seen those?
I have. They're pretty cool. Have you heard... I heard that Japan is working on, I don't know if they have them yet, paint
yes.
ball something.
Yes.
Is that true?
You paint on the wall and it becomes your TV.
Amazing. Where do the works go?
Yeah. Probably in a little box with a wire connected to it or something.
Amazing.
Yep. Okay, next up, let's go to Mark in Dallas, Texas now. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, thank you for taking my call.
You are very welcome, my friend.
I've got really a observation and question for you.
Okay.
I live in the Dallas area, but I also have land up in Oklahoma where, you know, there's parts of our land that there's not any lights for a couple of miles. And at night, the sky becomes very clear. And I'm sure that your listeners or yourself have seen satellites fly over at night. My question is that I've been watching these for five or more years, and every now and then I see one that flares up, almost like maybe like you know, back in high school when in science class you lit a match to a piece of magnesium tape and it it burned real bright. And I noticed that that these satellites occasionally will brighten up for about 2 to 8 seconds, and then they go back to their dim, you know, self. And
yeah,
I was just curious. Any idea what that is, or what it could be, or
probably
a
UFO?
I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you're right about satellites. I mean, we've all seen them, and they go from one end to the other. They just go in one direction. They don't divert. They don't stop. I have seen objects do all kinds of things, turns and spins with night vision goggles. And in this particular case with you, it's out of this world. I'm not sure we have that kind of technology. I really don't. Let's go next to Chicago. Hi, Anthony. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Good morning, sir.
You too.
Hey, I just heard something earlier tonight, and I was wondering if you heard this, and this is a rather serious matter. You know how Comey, the FBI director...
Yeah, James Comey.
Gave his, final determination that there was, she was guilty of this and that, but they weren't going to prosecute her. Mm-hmm. But if it were you or me, we'd already be getting our rights read to us and all of that. Well, I heard earlier that Comey received $5 million from the Clinton Foundation, and his brother Peter's been doing the taxes for the Clintons for years.
I'd have to check into both of those.
Okay, the guy that did this, that claims this, his name is Brown, the last name. I thought I just
right.
wrote it up. I forget his last name.
I'll check into that.
You guys can dig that up.
Okay.
I just wanted to run that by you, sir.
All right, I will check into that. I would, on the face of it, I doubt it, but who knows? Let's check into it first. We've got Bob in Texas now. Hey, Bob, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I have to gloss over a few things because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I really wanted you to hear this.
All right.
I started having out-of-body experiences, astral travel, when I was a young child. And as I grew up, I started looking into the techniques, and I actually was pretty much taught by Robert Monroe from the Monroe.
Oh, he was great in his
day. Oh, man, he's like the best. But what I wanted to tell you was, I decided to try something. I've been looking at the pictures of Area 51, and when I do these travels, you know, sometimes you can get real mixed up into which, you know, where you're going. But I've been working on this for a while, and the latest picture, you know, they show a really big hangar out there, Area mm-hmm. 51. So I focused on that hangar when I projected out. And I made it. I was above one of the larger hangars there. I picked the biggest one.
What's in there?
Up above. Yes. Well, this is where it gets pretty strange. So I descend down to the biggest hangar, and inside that hangar, what I saw were not airplanes, but they weren't UFOs either. To me, I'm an electronics engineer.
Okay.
And I have the astral travel background. These things look like they could go into space. So I'll say that.
What were they shaped like?
Sort of like TIE fighters. I mean, really strange-looking craft. And I want to say that I descended down to a few floors, okay? Let me back up for a second. I offered my services to the CIA and told them my background. And the moment, the night that I put the application in online, that night, someone visited me in my room, and I don't know, you know, if they just, you know, were checking me out to see if I was for real. I'm not sure, but...
Well, when you say visited you, astrally, or somebody really did? Oh, astrally. Okay.
Astrally, yeah. Yeah. Well, to get back to where I was going, you know, so I know a lot about technology. I descended out about... I was trying to count floors, and it seemed like I was down to about a fourth floor. And this place is like massive hallway.
Could you see people too?
Yeah, I saw people. I didn't see any aliens, but I did see people, a lot of people in lab coats. The hallways are like a maze. But I saw some things I'm kind of afraid to talk about, and I want to encourage maybe to have someone on the show that is brave enough to do this, but to travel to some of these places and get these answers, you know? What I saw down on the fourth level scared the hell out of me.
Any weaponry down there?
They're working on all kinds of things. And when you're talking about televisions, I saw not televisions, but holograms. These guys are using holograms to do presentations.
Gosh, see, I'm convinced we'll have holograms for phone calls. You know, if you call your girlfriend, she'll be standing on your desk or something.
They're running totally different stuff than up top. That's all I can say. I've never seen anything like that, and I really, you know computers and network engineering really well.
It's amazing technology. Hey, we're almost out of time, but we've got another series of great shows for you for the rest of the week, culminating, of course, with some fun stuff on Friday night. And then off to Denver to do some Beyond Belief television shows, off to St. Louis for a while, off to New Orleans for the Oswald Conference, and definitely come by if you're in that area, because this is going to be a home run. If you're into the Oswald conspiracy theories, the Kennedy stuff, you're going to love that program too. So make sure you're at our website at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.